Tonight's shiur, Parshas Re'eh. Parsha begins, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lifneichem Hayom Bracha Klala, etc. These brachas and klalas are to be given on Har Eval, Har Grizim and Har Eval, as the pasuk says later on. And the pasuk, next pasuk says, Aloheima Be'ever Hayardin Acharei Derech Mevo Hashemesh. So where are these places, Har Grizim and Har Eval? So they are Be'evar Yadin, Acharei Derech Mevo Hashemesh. So Rashi says that the word Acharei always means far off. Zeh Lashon Arei, Kol Makom Shenema Acharei, Muflag Hu, says Rashi. Always means it's in a far distance, Acharei. So once the Chafetz Chaim asked the Ger Rebbe, the Imri Emes, he says, if that's the case, how do we understand a different pasuk in this week's Sedra? In Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Hey, it says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. It says you're supposed to go after Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if Acharei always means to go, you stay far away, it's far away, so what does it mean? Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, you should stay far away from Hashem. What's Pshat? So, the Ger Rebbe answered the Chafetz Chaim, he said, somebody who feels that he is far, he is actually close. That's a siman that he's close. If he feels he's close, that's a siman that he's actually quite far away. And was a person, if he humbles himself, he feels like, I've a ways to go to get close to Hashem, he's really the close one. Somebody who thinks, yeah, I'm really close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's the one that's really far away. Therefore, Acharei is Lashon Muflag, Dafka, the person who feels that he's far away, he's Dafka the one that's close. It's a nice word from the Chidushi Arim. We say every day in Psukei Dezimra, Mismar Lasoda, Perakuf and Tilim. And we say in there one of the Psukim, Hu Asanu Velo Anachnu. So the word Lo is, there's a Kri and a Ksiv here. It's written one way, Lamed Aleph, and it's said Lamed Vav. So there are two ways of reading. You could say, Hu Asanu, Hashem made us, Velo, and Lamed Vav, and Him we are, we belong to Him. He made us and we're His. However, you could also read it, Hu Asanu, He made us, Velo, Lamed Aleph, and not, and we're nothing. Velo Anachnu, we're nothing. He made us and we're nothing. Says the Chiddush HaRim, both interpretations are true. On the one hand, we're nothing. If a person feels that way, that lo anachnu with an aleph, then lo anachnu, then we're his. You feel that you're nothing, then you're really his. So Maisa with Chazanish, he was once speaking to Rav Yaakov Galinsky, and originally when Chazanish moved into his house in Bnei Brak, which is now what we call Chazanish Street, was all orchards over there, unlike today. It was all orchard. And his house was like a lone house there in the wilderness. And he said to Rav Galinsky, Chazanish said to Rav Galinsky, you know, I'm so thankful to the Rosh Ha'ir, his name was Gershenkorn. He says, I'm really, really thankful to him. He says, why? He said, because he put a street lamp right near my house. So he assumed, Rav Galinsky assumed, oh, you know, so now you're thankful so you can see, you know, where you're going, you know. So he says, no, that's not why I'm thankful. I'm thankful to him because I learned Musar from the street lamp. He says, what? He says, well, I noticed, says that if I'm quite a distance away from the street lamp, I notice my shadow is very big. And the closer I get to the light, back, get closer and closer to the street lamp, my shadow gets smaller and smaller. So he says, I learned from here, big yesod. And that is, the farther you are from the light, it was the light of Hashem, the bigger you are, right? If you really think, well, I'm great, or whatever. Like we said before, that's a sign that you're far away from the light. He says, then you get closer to the light of Hashem, says that then you get smaller, right? You more a person mevatel himself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he gets closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, if directly under the light, he says, you don't see the person at all. So that's the ultimate. So the Chiddush HaRim also pointed out that we said, lo, he says, those letters, Lamed Vav and Lamed Aleph, spell out Elul. That's our avoda, so Elul, that we have to be low, his, by being low, by being not, by mevatling ourselves. That's the vodas el. Okay, pasuk hey, Yud Beis Hey, it says, Kimel Makom Hashet, etc. L'sum et Shemo Sham, L'shichno Sidrishu Vasa Shama. So Rashi says, L'shichno Sidrishu, where is that? Says Rashi, Dze Mishkan Shiloh. That's the place where the Mishkan of Shiloh was built. The question is, why was Mishkan Shiloh Dafka, why was Shiloh chosen to be the place for Mishkan Shiloh? So there's a Maisa, there's once two brothers. One of them was married with children, and the other one was single. And they owned Beshutfis Sadeh that produced tefua, produce, whatever. And one day, the single brother, you know, said, you know, it's not really fair. You know, we're splitting everything 50-50. I don't need as much as my brother. And after all, he's married, got family. You know, he needs more than me. So, you know, I want to mevater on my some of my tefuah to him. So what he decided to do was that night that he was going to take of his tefuah and put it over to his, the half that he took, take half of his half and bring it over to his brothers, you know, and give it to him. His brother, on the other hand, happened to have similar thoughts. He says, you know, look, I'm a single guy, you know, the married brother said, you know, I'm ready established, I have my family, whatever. My brother, you know, he needs to get a shidduch, he has to have some money, you know, to get married or whatever. So the married one also said, you know, I want to help out my brother. It's not right. Why should I take half of the produce? He needs to get married or something. He should get some, get extra. So he says, I'm going to give half of my thing and give it to him. So in the middle of the night, they both went and he put some of his half of his half onto his brothers, and so did the brother. Next morning, they noticed that they exactly each had half and half again. He says, that's strange. I gave half of my half to my brother, and how come I have it all back? And the other one said the same thing. Next night they did it again. And every morning he goes, what's going on? Until the third night, as they were transferring the tefuah to the other brother, they bumped into each other and he saw what was happening. They both brothers had similar thoughts. So they hugged, they kissed, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that this is the makom that was Shiloh. This is the makom where the Mishkan is going to be built. But there's Avas Achim like this, so that deserves to have the Shekhinah there. Pasuk says, Yud Gimel Zayin, talks about the Maseet. Okay, so one who entices someone to do Avodah Zarah, ki yisischa achicha ben imecha, o bincha, o bitcha, o eshas chekecha, etc. So, talks about somebody who entices your brother, the son of your mother, your son, your daughter, etc. Once a Komer, a priest, asked Rav Yonah Sanaibishitz, he says, I understand that everything is, there's a remiss to everything in the Torah. It's an ein davar that's not ramuz in the Torah. So Rav Yonah Sanaibishitz says, that's correct. So the Komer said, okay, show me where in the Torah is there a remiss to Yeshu, right, Yashki. You know, where is it? Remiss to everything. Where is there a remiss? So he pointed out this pasuk. And he said, what does the pasuk say? It says, ki yisischa achicha, when your brother entices you, you know, to do a avodah zarah, so what does it say? Achicha ben imecha. Now he says, isn't that strange? It says, your brother, the son of your mother. And if he's your brother, the son of your father, he's not going to entice you to vote as Zara? I mean, why is it Dafka Chu? It's strange, right? That if your brother, the son of your mother, is going to entice you to do a vote as Zara, why Dafka the son of your mother? What about your son of your father? Why Dafka the son of your mother? So he says, he's a remitiation, right? He's the son of the mother, but according to them, they had no father. So there's no son of the father, it's only son of your mother. So there's a remitiation. Agav, we say in Aleinu L'Shabeach, there's in some editions, it's actually in brackets because it's the censored, but we say V'hei mishtachavim lehevel varik mispalim elei lo yoshia, right? So they say there's a remez over here to the Arabs and to Yeshu. How so? For V'hei mishtachavim lehevel refers to the Arabs, Muslims. Why? because Hevel is spelled Hey Beis Lamed. Hey is the five tefillas. They have five tefillas a day. Beis is referring to the two holidays. They have two holidays a year. And Lamed is 30 days of Ramadan. All these 30 days. So Hevel refers to the Arabs. And Varik in Gematria is 316, which is the same Gematria as Yeshu. Shem Yishtam L'Hel Varik. So I was thinking, this hit me this year, that Varik is 316. If you take number 316 and revert it, it's what? 613. Right? 613 backwards, 316. So that's what Yashki did. He took the Torah and he turned it around. Okay. Next. It's a Gvaltic word from the from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, an Essenian of the Macy's. So it says, what do you do? Find this person, the son of your mother, whatever, comes and entices you, wanted to avoid a Zara. So the Pasuk says, you shouldn't have any pity on him. You have to kill him. Right? You have to kill him. So, says the Rebbe Yisrael, tremendous chat. He says, we have a rule, right, Chazal tell us, that Mida Tova is 500 times greater than Mida Peronios. And whenever we see something bad, or result of something bad, punishment, whatever, the good side of the other side of the coin, which is the good side, is even 500 times better than the bad side. So what do we have over here? Here we have somebody who entices another yid to do a avodah zarah, right? Now, but pashtus, what are we talking about? That he wasn't successful. Why? Because if he was successful, so then he wouldn't take him to basin. He wouldn't come basin with a guy that went, you know, and started worshiping a avodah zarah. Wouldn't come to the basin and say, yes, this guy enticed me to do a avodah zarah. You know, he's himself doing a avodah zarah. So pashtus, we're talking about a guy who, you know, was enticed, and he went to the basin and complained, took this guy to basin. Says, you know, this guy wanted to, you know, get me to do a avodah zarah. You know, turned him in. Fine. And what's the halacha? What do you do to this guy? You kill him, right? You have to kill him, as the Torah says. It says, this thing for a second. He wasn't successful, right? He just was amazing. He enticed the person to do avodah zarah. Didn't do it, right? But he enticed him just for that. A person gets a death penalty. So he says, if the Mida Tova is 500 times better, meaning, what if somebody entices another person to do good, but is not successful? If enticing somebody to do bad and you're not successful, you get a death penalty. If you entice somebody to do something good, even if you're not successful, so you get tremendous, tremendous reward. 500 times greater is the reward for just enticing somebody to do good, meaning you're not successful. What's enough? Enough is, you know, a person asks you to, oh, you're at a get-together, says, here, say a vor, right? So you think, what if I say a vor? What's my vor going to do, you know? Try to mashpi on people? Who's going to listen to me? Who's going to say? It doesn't matter. Just try. Why? Nobody listens to you. But just the etzem attempt, is you get tremendous rewards for. The Saba Mikelm takes it one step further. He said, if that's the case, why dafka even trying to influence somebody else? What about yourself? When you sit down to try to work on yourself, I'm going to learn Musa, what I want to... So some of the person say, how can I change? And it doesn't matter. And if you don't end up changing. But just the attempt, it brings you tremendous scar. I'm going to attempt to change myself. You know, if you're not successful, you get tremendous amount of scar. Halavai, if you are successful, but even the attempt we see brings tremendous scar with it. Okay, the next vort is it's only for those who understand Lashon HaKodesh will appreciate the vort. So we'll say it's a vort in Lashon HaKodesh. Once there was a yid that he was caught doing all kinds of different averas. Amongst them, it was over on the Isser Yichud. And he wrote a work. He wanted to get Haskama for it. What was the book about? It was about the Indian of saying L'Shem Yichud before you do a mitzvah. The Shaila, whether you should say L'Shem Yichud, you know, before you do a mitzvah. So he brought his work to Shlomo Kluger, who you know, read it, and he wanted to get a haskama. So he told him the following. Like I said, I can't, I have to only say it in Ivrit, and whoever understands it, good, not, not. He says like this: Ein kol tzorech shachibur hazeh yehei nidpas. Why? That nidpas as in published. Why? Ki amechaber atzmo kvar nidpas. He was already caught doing yichud. Secondly, he says, amechaber minaseh lo chiyach ki gam lafi toras hanistar ein makom lamar l'shem yichud. Vani, he says, shamati, shamachaber haya nistar l'shem yichud. Okay. Pasuk says in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Aleph, Banim atem l'shem elokeichem, yir Hashem sons, lo tiskodru lo sasimu karcha, b'neinechem l'meis. So here we have the answer of mourning, shall we say, too much for one's relative, mourning, doing mutilating oneself over somebody who died, etc. Yes. So the Torah is telling us over here, don't do it. You know, don't go crazy if somebody dies. Why? Because banim atem l'shem elokeichem. Pasuk starts out. So there's a sefer called Avelis Balacha, and he brings the name of Lekutei Anshei Shem. He says the lechura, it doesn't really fit, because the opposite should be true. He gives the following mashal. So let's say a guy lost his watch, and he's crying bitterly, oh, I lost my watch. And somebody says, why, what happened? He says, I lost my watch. He says, yeah, well, how much was your watch worth? You're crying so much. He goes, yeah, it was $100 watch. It's a $100 watch, you had? He said, yeah. He says, oh, what can you, maybe I'll, you know, I'll try to help you find it. What's the name and the brand name of the watch? So he says, I think it said on it Rolex. You know, Rolex? He says, it's not a $100 watch. It's a few $1,000 watch, not a $100. Your watch was worth a few $1,000. So now what? Is he going to cry more or less? He's going to cry more. He was crying because he thought his watch was worth $100. Now you're telling him it's worth a few thousand. He's going to cry even more. So he says, so they ask the same thing over here. What is it? Don't cry so much for this person. Right? Don't go crazy in a veil. Why? Because you're the sons of God. If we're the sons of God, we're so chashuv, we should cry more, not less. For that, you're calming the person down. Don't go crazy crying so much because, after all, we're the banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. That's the reason to cry more. We're so chashuv, we're the sons of Hashem. All the more safe to cry if the son of Hashem is lost. So what's the answer? So the answer is another mashal. There was once a guy who was living by his, got married and was living by his father-in-law. So, fine, he's living there for a while. And then he gets a letter one day from his father and says, listen, you know, you've been by the in-laws, you know, for a while, and I need you here, and I want you to come home and you know, join me in my business, etc., whatever it might be. So, fine, he agreed. You know, he was going to go home to live with his, by his, near his father. And, you know, when they're parting, he was... started crying that he's leaving. So I said, you know, okay, you're crying, I understand, but you don't have to cry so much. Why? He says, where are you going? You're going to your father, your dear father. Okay, it was nice by your father-in-law, okay, but you're going to your own father, so you don't have to cry so much. You have to cry a little bit, okay, you're leaving, but Lamaise, you're going to a place which is even better. You're going to your father's house. So say same thing over here. Right? Well, we tell the person, don't cry so much. Why? Because the person that you left, you know, the person that left you, you know, okay, he left, but where is he going? He's going to his father. Banim atem l'shem elokeichem. I, of course, there's pain, you know, you're leaving, you know, okay, there's that pain. You know, he's not there here anymore, but still, the person's going to a place that's even better. He's going to his father. That's pshat in the pasuk. Banim atem l'shem elokeichem. Therefore, don't go crazy with the avelis. Because, okay, you know, you have to have a little bit. You're parting with the person. It's difficult, Peseder, but the person's going to his father. Therefore, shouldn't take it to the extreme. Pasuk says, Perek Yadala Pasuk Kaf Beis, Aiser Taiser, as Kol Tuvat Zarecha. So, Chazal tell us, Gemara in Tainus, Daf Tes, that they darshan aser taser aser bisvil shetita sher. that if you want to become rich, you should give miser. Should miser in order to become rich. So there's a Midrash plea over here. The Midrash says the following on this pasuk. It says, "Im hasmol v'imina, v'im hayamin v'asmila." It says, if you go left, then I'll go right, and if you go right, then I'll go left. What's that? What's that have to do with Iser Taiser? So the Sefer Kol Yosef says the following. It says, Aser is, and the word Osher is spelt the same way, Ein the root, right? Ein, Sheen, Reish. What's the only difference between the two, Aser and Osher? Is one has a Sheen and one has a Seen. Which means the dot, right? If the dot's on the right side, it's a sheen, it's osher. If it's on the left side, then it's lashon meiser. Okay, that's the only difference. So he said that's the pshat in the medrash. The medrash says that im hasmol, if you put to go to the left, meaning if you put the dot on the left, which makes it iser, meaning if you meiser your thing, your tfuah, then what? Then I'll go right. Meaning then I'll put the dot on the right, which is osher. I'll give you osher. Like the pasuk says, iser taiser, iser kadeser titasher. Right? You take miser, I'll give you osher. So if you go to the left, iser, then I'll go to the right and put it on the right side of the sheen and give you wealth. However, the opposite is also true. That if you go to the right, right, mean, right, you go to the right, meaning that you don't miser your stuff things. You say, no, I want to keep the wealth for myself. You want to be wealthy, osher. You put the dot on the right. Then what does Hashem do? Hashem says, fine, you want to go to the right, then I'll go to the left, and I'll give you only 10% of your which is coming to you. Right? There's a Tosfos there on this. It describes this whole thing. How a person who he doesn't draw a miser, a person was a father told him to miser all his things, always give the 10%, and he didn't do so. And the result was that he only received 10%, right? What was of his things, and that he did 10% of what he was the full field was reproducing until now, it was only produced 10%. So that's the pshat in the Medrash. This thought just today, I was learning this Gemara with somebody. Thought of a cute remez also that the union of Meiser on this in Gemara and Tainus over here, right? That if you're supposed to give 1/10, so what happens if you have 10 parts? And you give 1/10. So how much are you left with? 9. So it's interesting to note that this Gemara is on Daf Tes, Maseches Tainis, which is 9. It's a hint to this giving mice. Okay. The famous mashal from the Chafetz Chaim comes to giving mice, staka, etc. It says there was once a village person and Kafri, and he was working by his balabais. He was hired to. There were these sacks of wheat or whatever, or produce, and he had to load it on the wagon of the balabais. Fine. So they made a deal that, let's say, for argument's sake, for every bag he puts on, he'll get $10. Okay. So they were discussing, like, how are we going to keep track? Exactly how many bags were put on. You're going to pile them up. It's hard to count them afterwards. So they made a simple thing. They said the boy took his hat off, put it upside down. He took a bunch of pennies, and he said, every sack that you put on, I'll throw a penny, I'll put up a penny in the hat, and then at the end of the day, we'll count how many pennies there are, and we know how many sacks you put up, and then we'll pay you accordingly. So fine. So he puts one sack on, Balabai throws a penny in the thing, another sack, another penny, etc. So sometime in the middle of the day there, during work, the Balabai says to the guy, the Kafi, listen, I got to run out for a minute, I'll be back shortly, okay? He says, fine. So he runs away, goes out. So the Kafri thinks, he says, he's not here. Now's my chance. So he takes his hand, he sticks it into the hat, and takes some pennies from the hat. He goes, ha-ha, I stole some pennies from him. And he puts it in his pocket. So then comes down, everything okay? Yeah, fine, no problem, let's go. And he continues putting on more sacks, throws a few more pennies in. At the end of the day, counts how many pennies there are, and pays him $10 for each penny. So he comes back to his village, the village person, he's so happy, and he said, what are you so happy about? He says, oh, I gave it to that balabais, I really tricked him. He says, what? He says, I stole from him. So what do you mean? You told him the whole story. He says, yeah, he's gone, I stole some pennies. He says, you idiot, he stole some pennies. He says, you didn't gain by stealing those pennies, you lost big time, right? Every penny is worth $10, and you took, okay, it's true, you took some pennies from him, but each one you would have gotten $10 for. You're a fool. The same thing. A person thinks, you know, I'm not going to give tzedakah, and then, hey, I'm going to gain. You know, instead of giving away the tzedakah, I'll have extra money. He says, you fool. You have a little extra money now, but you're losing big time. Because if you'd be giving the tzedakah, we said, Asir Kadesh Titasher, Hashem would give you, pay you back money, much more. Also, in this week's Seder, we have the union of tzedakah as well. Says that a person comes, a poor person, and wants needs help. You have to help him, give him a loan, give him the money, etc. And it says, "Ki biglala davar zeh yivrach Hashem lokecha b'chol ma'asecha," and because of this, Hashem will reward you. So the gabei tzedakah is a pasuk in Mishlei, famous pasuk, "Utzedakah tatzil mimaves," that tzedakah saves from death. So there's a number of stories, ma'asim, where we see this. One famous story told of Mr. Orenstein. Is in Yerushalayim, there's a group of houses in the center of Yerushalayim. It's called Bate Orenstein, named after him. And he was a very wealthy person, and he lived at the end of Mea Sharim near Shar Shechem. And he was very, he used to give a lot of money as a philanthropist. Anyways, once an ani came to his house and said, you know, I have to make a chasana, I have no money, etc. So he was hoping to get some, you know, a few shekels from Reb Orenstein, help him out a little bit. So instead, what happens, Mr. Orenstein says to the ani, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. He says, I'll pay for your entire chasana. Your entire chasana, only under one condition though. So he thought, you know, I can imagine, I probably won't be able to fulfill this condition, what is it? So he tells him that you invite me to the chasana. That's it, you know. No problem, you know. You're my first on my list, of course, you know. Okay, so he said, no. Then 100%, here you go, whatever, and he gives him all the money for the chasana. So you know, chasana was whatever, 2-3 months away, and has all the money now, and all the preparations, whatever. So comes the night of the chasana, and everybody, all the guests come, and the band's there, and they're, you know, getting ready to go to the chuppah. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden, this ani thinks, he says, hits me, says, I don't believe it. I didn't invite Mr. Orenstein to the chasana. He said, can you believe it? Right, this whole chasana is because of him. And he told me I had to invite, and I forgot, I was just so involved with everything, I forgot to invite him. He says, what am I going to do? Is it terrible? So he was thinking, and he said, okay, he says, he claps, makes a clap, he says, Raboisai, announces to the whole, all the guests, everybody, he says, listen, I just thought of something that terrible, I was, all this big chasana is all due to Mr. Orenstein. And he told me he was going to help me if I invite him to the chasana, and I forgot to invite him. So, we're not going to go to the klippah right now, he says, I am now asking everybody to join me, and we're going to make a march to Mr. Orenstein's house, and everybody together, and invite him with pomp and circumstance. So, okay, you know, fine. So everybody starts marching there, and the band's playing, and go. Meanwhile, what happened? That very, very same night, these Arab thieves broke into the Orenstein residence, when he was there, when Orenstein was there and his wife, whatever. They broke in, and they tied him up, him and his wife, and they asked for the combination to the safe or whatever, and they went into the safe, they cleaned it out, put everything on a table, whatever, and they said, okay, now where's the jewelry, where's this, where that, and he says, no, that's all I have. He goes, no, you're not, you're lying to us, and we're going to kill you, and this, and he thought that was it, that was the end of him. What happens? All of a sudden, these Arabs here, it's all the music and they're, you know, coming closer and closer to the house. So they said, what's going on? There's a crowd of people out there. So they got very scared. They dropped everything and they ran for it. Left everything. So the wedding, everybody came from the, you know, to give the invitation. and nobody's answering the door. So they went into the door, whatever. They saw that Mr. Ernstein was tied up, and his wife was tied up, whatever. They untied them, whatever. And they saw Mamish how it stuck at the Tzil Mivavis. You know, how do you not give him the money and tell them to bite into the chasana? Could have been the end of him. Something that's stuck at the Tzil Mivavis. It's a beautiful story. The Beis Halevi says when he was young, he was once walking around the Beis Kfaras in Brisk, and he saw two kvarim, and with the monuments, and they're next to each other. Okay, and he saw something very strange. It says on one of the monuments, it was written. On the mitzvahs, it was written "Kapa Parsa Leani," and on the second monument, it said "Yadeha Shilcha Levyon," which is, of course, Mishle, the Eishes Chayil, we say every Friday night. Pasuk, very strange, right? It's broken up into two. On one kever, it said "Kapa Parsa Leani," and on the second one, "Yadeha Shilcha Levyon." See, something's up over here. Like, well, he was sure there's an interesting story behind this. So he went to the Chevra Kedisha, whatever, and he said, do you know? He says, we've seen it before. He says, what's the story? He goes, I don't know. So he looked into all the records, you know, the old thing from many years ago, and sure enough, he found in the records the story behind it. The story goes like this. He says there were these two brothers, and two people. They were shutfim. They were partners, two partners in business. And they were not only partners in business, they were also partners in staka. And they used to give tremendous, tremendous amounts of staka to the poor. What happens? One day, things start taking a turn for the worse, and they start losing their money. So everybody was astonished, because dafka, like we said before, iser tiser, you know, you get rich, and they're getting poorer from giving that staka. And they couldn't understand it. So they put together a beis din, actually, to find out what's the reason. Why did these two partners start losing their money? So the beis din came to the conclusion is that were giving too much staka. Right? The person that the Gemara says, you should not give more than a fifth. You're supposed to give a tenth, and up to a fifth, that's also okay, but not more than a fifth. And they were giving more than a fifth, so because of that, that's why they lost their money. So the Beis Din, therefore, goes there on them that they can't give any more than 20% from now on. They have to be very machbi, not given, didn't have too much money now anyway, but whatever they gave, they're not allowed to give more than 20%. From now on, that goes there. Things are from the basic. Okay. So the Aniyim still started coming to their house. They started, you know, giving them the, you know, whatever, they still some money they had. But it wasn't too long where they were already hit the 20% mark, you know, because they didn't have so much anyway. So, but the Aniyim kept coming. And it really hurt them. They really, really wanted to help these people, but they were not allowed to give anymore. So they had an idea. They said, look, well, the gzeira is not to give money to these people, more than 20%. But it doesn't apply to things. So we'll give our things to these people. They're things of value. They can cash it in, and the poor people can cash it in and have money that way. So they went to their homes and whatever they can find. You know, they found a silver candlestick here, gave it to one ani. They found some rare pictures, whatever, gave it to another ani. And a kiddush bachar, you know, gave it to another. Whatever they found in their house, they gave. Fine. So got to the point where they cleaned themselves out. They gave away all their possessions. They had nothing more to give. Anyways, just after that had happened, these two anim come to them and said, you know, please, we need your help, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, her, they really wanted to give them, but they said, you know, we don't have anything. We're cleaned out. We gave everything away. So they said, please, you must have something. We need your help, desperately, whatever. And it broke their hearts. They really wanted to give, but they didn't have. All of a sudden, the shamish, one of the shamishes from them, starts running. He goes, I found it! I found it! He says, what? I found something! He says, you did? What did you find? So he said, look, I found a gold little spoon, a sugar spoon, that he used to, you know, to scoop out the sugar. It was made of gold, and I found it. So you have something left to give to the anim. So these partners took the spoon. On one hand, they were happy, but now what? Because there's two anim and only one spoon. So what should I do? So they had an idea. They took the spoon. They broke it into half. It was gold, you know. It was worth the weight in gold, right? They took the spoon and broke it in half and gave the spoon part to one ani and the handle to the other ani. So they each had something. And made a big, big impression, and when people heard what they did, and the Kehillah made a special Yom Tefillah, whatever, they should come back and their wealth should return to these people, and sure enough, it did. Now we can understand the psukim on their graves. What did it say? On one, it said kapa parsa liani. Kaf is the spoon part. Kapa parsa liani. He gave to Yanim. On the other one, it said viyadeha, the yad, the handle shil chalani, the levion, gave to the poor. So one gave the spoon part, one gave the handle part. Kapa parsa liani viyadeha shil chalani. But Hashem, we should be zoiche to see no more anius in Klal Yisrael, only ashiris, and gashmias, and meruchnias, and have the ikar ashiris of bias kol tzedek, v'mehira v'meir.